I heard a word as I was coming out of the realm of the spirit, and it was Hosea 4:6. Now I know Hosea 4:6 by heart, but I wanted to make sure that I was on target. And so tonight, Lord Jesus, let your spirit carry these words to bring life and not judgment in Jesus' name. And let them be a word in season that they may grow in what they need to hear. It says, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Now, because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children, etc. So it's pretty heavy. And I think a lot of times we underestimate God's abilities. But the major point that I really believe that he was trying to give us is God's instructions are despised. God's instructions are usually despised. Why? Anybody got an idea why? Why are God's instructions not welcomed? Laughed at, mocked. Huh?
Naturalize.
Doesn't see what God is doing. Natural understanding. What does natural understanding do to God's instructions?
Laugh.
Huh?
Laugh.
Maybe get angry.
Because it would require accountability.
Okay, would require accountability. Okay. How many people like accountability? I'm in love when I count and I do all the things that are right. Or am I proud when I do it right? It sometimes is that way, isn't it? Yeah. How many have ever had a successful day and they didn't goof most of the day, and so they go to bed at night and I feel so good about myself today? And they're patting themselves on the back, and it's really lack of knowledge that destroys them, because see, God is against the proud. James 4. So what are you doing when you're proud of yourself that you carried yourself in such a marvelous way? You become a Pharisee. You become a critic of everything that's godly. And so what happens when that kind of pride comes out? We're destroyed. We can't get to the victory. So I want you to come with me on a little journey. Not a very long one, but a little journey. And I believe that in the book of Micah, you'll get to see a little bit of what happens. I believe, let's see. I should have written it down, but then... Micah chapter 4, verse 12. Micah chapter 4, verse 12. Now, in verse 11 it says, but now many nations are gathered against you. They say, let her be defiled. Let our eyes gloat over Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan. He who gathers them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Rise and thresh, O daughters of Zion, for I will give you horns of iron. I will give you hoofs of bronze, and you will break to pieces many nations. You will devote their ill-gotten gain to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of all the earth. So now, those who have a plan and are angry at Zion, which is the holy people of God, and they're plotting against, God is going to let them know they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand His plan. Yet God says, I'm going to shatter what they are up to and transition it to His church, to His people. How many have ever seen somebody that's very angry at God get flipped around? I was one of them. I don't have to go very far to look. I was one of them. I was angry because He did not do my plan for those that I loved. Well, can you kind of woof on that one? How many of you have ever gotten angry and barked like a dog at the moon? Ruff, ruff, why did you do this? Why? All it is frustration and not knowing God's plan. Now, why does He let things fall apart? Because for a reason, He wants to make us as His servants. Didn't He arrest Paul, who was called Saul? Yes. Did He blind him for a while? With light, He blinded him. There was a purpose for the fall off his horse. There was a purpose for his blindness. There was a purpose for his anger. There was a purpose that he had become one of the top young men of Jerusalem, knowing all the arts and crafts of the Pharisees. God had a plan to what? Flip him over like a pancake. How many have got a few people that would like to, let's say, change you and me? And maybe adjust us, because we're those fluky people that don't make sense to them. Is God able to flip them over like a pancake, like He did with Paul? Yes, He is. Do you want to see them change? Yes. I prefer that they don't have to be blinded, but whatever God needs to do, He will do, if we simply trust Him. Amen? Okay, I want you to take a couple of little other short journeys. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 might be a little bit scary, but it's definitely God's word. Okay? I want you to kind of go to verse 1, because it's verse 6 that we're going to be talking about. So, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. So now this is Paul teaching the Romans. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God. But their zeal is not based on knowledge. Their zeal is not based on knowledge. What's it based on? Maybe emotions, maybe religion. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. So now, Christ is the end of the law, so that what? They will change their hearts. Amen? Moses described it this way: the righteous that is by the law, the man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. We are proclaiming that if we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your hearts that you believe and are justified. Listen to that. It is with your hearts that you believe and are justified, which is an attribute of your spirit. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. All this, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. But there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses them all. Call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? That means you. And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who brings good news. That's you. But not all the Israelites accept the good news. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again I asked, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. It will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. Can you catch on? God is not concerned about making them comfortable. He's going to make them uncomfortable. He's going to make them be learning about God and his ways through something that will baffle their brains. Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hand to a disobedient and obstinate people. That's an incredible message. When you realize that the church does the same exact thing. I individually had done the same exact thing. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm picking on what I was. I'm letting you know that I don't want to be there anymore. I don't want to act that way anymore. I don't want to react that way anymore. So what do? I submit to the Lord. I run to him. There's a danger that I'd like to warn you about in Ephesians chapter 4. You see, Paul's message and the Lord's message is to awaken us to be teachable. That whatever he says I can do, he can do. Sometimes my unbelief goes way, way out there. And I say, oh my God, this is so big, God. He says, not for me. Right, Peggy? He is with you. That's kind of neat because I couldn't stop saying it. I couldn't stop saying it. You know why? Because the unbelief needs to be shattered sometimes. And we need to repeat something to ourselves over and over until we believe it. Because it is out of the mouth that it's spoken, and out of the heart, the fullness of the heart, gets transformed with words. It is words that will change you. It is words that will heal you. Verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. In the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. So how did they lose knowledge? They harden themselves up. They just refuse to take God's information in. Okay? Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity that with a continuous lust for more. Now, am I picking on that? No. But it's the fruit of hardening their hearts. That's what happens when you and I harden our hearts against God. And we cannot afford to do that. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of His ways. Lack of knowledge of His compassion. Lack of knowledge of His grace and His mercy. And it starts by giving it to me. While I'm angry at God's plan unfolding in my life, I'm setting myself up to be driven to a hardened heart. Sad. Do you ever see your heart harden in an area? That doesn't mean it's hardened in every area. It might be hardened in one group of people. Or a family member. Or a family group. Do you ever catch that? And you just don't want to be offended anymore. So you want to wipe the slate clean. Is that what the advice is of the Lord? No. Carry them in your hearts. Bring them before God and lift them up. Ask the Lord for grace and mercy for them so that they can be transformed. After all, wouldn't it be nice to spend eternity with them if they're changed? Not if they're left to be with their own means and support, because their lack of knowledge is destroying them, like it was destroying me. Oh, come on, one little tiny amen. All right? This lack of knowledge of His Word, lack of knowledge of His ways, lack of knowledge of His compassion for His creation. I remember I used to get so angry because He did this way and He did that way and He had this rule for this and that rule for that and this law for this and this law for that. It was to identify sin. That's why Jesus came to get rid of it. Because now sin is visible. It's not that hard to see what sin is. It's lawlessness against God's ways. I heard, ouch. Immediately. When I harden myself against God's ways, I actually set myself up for destruction. Not funny, but truth. And my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of God's ways, lack of knowledge of God's Word. Now, does that mean that you have to sit in the Bible and learn it from cover to cover and start quoting all the scriptures to drive everybody nuts? Thank you. Have you ever been driven into insanity, basically, by a person who wants to drill you full of the scriptures? What's wrong with that picture? Are their intents good? Do they have a heart to bring you to Christ? But their mannerism, they're driven, and they drive you into an irritation. And I remember saying to the Lord, when I came to the Lord, and I came because I was invited in a gentle way. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone. And I was receiving the love and compassion that I needed to receive in order to get transformed. But I will tell you this, I had been irritated by people pressuring me. And I said, Lord, if ever I am a believer, I promise you, you will not see me pressure another person. you ever see yourself pressure somebody? What good does it do? All they do is they back up. Don't do it. God's way is your love. Jesus was a healer. He was a lover. He wasn't one that condemned everybody, was he? Well, have you ever heard the church condemning everybody? Well, am I right? Don't join it. Don't be a part of that. Be a part of the love team. It is by love that you will never fail. Amen? 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails. If you love them where they're at and guide them to the truth by your example, by golly, they'll get hungry for the knowledge you have. And they'll come knocking on your door and say, you know what? I'd like what some of the love feasts that you're participating in. I'd like to join you. I'd like to be a part of that. And that's how Jesus worked. And that is the proper way. I have never, to the best of my ability, tried to drum somebody into Christianity. Because I knew I didn't want it for me, and I don't want it for somebody else. I would prefer to let them walk and watch me, and as they watch me, then be drawn by Him. Because unless the Father draws, you don't get anywhere. Amen? Love them. Be lovers. And then that love flow will set them free. Close your eyes. Father, this truth that we lack your knowledge, that we lack understanding of your ways, needs to be impressed by your Spirit within them. Not another drummed piece of information. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you that you would just confirm this word to them, that they need to become more and more lovers of the unrighteous, lovers of the Jew, lovers of those that are stuck out there that don't know you or know your ways. Continue to bless them and strengthen them as they go forth in obedience in Jesus' name. Amen? And amen. Pete, would you release a prayer for the gifts, please? Amen. Would you give us a little bit of that praise report?
On Sunday, for the IEM Ministries, we were blessed to collect $100. So that $100 combined with our gift from the whole church will be sent out to the IEM Ministries.
Yes. I thought that was quite neat because when I talked to Bob today, he was excited. He was very, very blessed in being able to send a little piece of us throughout the 40 or 50 nations that God uses this I Am Ministries to teach. And it is really quite a team. I would definitely say to you that when they have a conference that happens in the spring, and we will give you information on that. And if you've never had the opportunity to visit the IM conference, it's really a neat time, and it's usually in the Albany area. Okay? Anyone else?
Sunday is Fellowship Sunday, and also we're turning the clocks ahead, so everybody remember.
Ooh.
Spring forward.
Spring forward this week.
This week, yes. We won't be late for church on Sunday.
Praise God. Yes? The men's breakfast is happening at CJ's on Route 20 in Munson. It's heading towards Palmer. If you're not familiar, contact some of us. It's happening at 9 o'clock. And it's exclusive for the gentlemen and the men under construction. Okay? And it should be interesting. God will bless those who have an opportunity to make it. Okay? Any other? Ladies, everything is all set?
I think
everyone is there. Okay. Well, can we stand, please? Sam? I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love.